Well, welcome, dear ones. A very good Wednesday evening to you in midweek church service that we've all been brought back together safely by the Lord to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth, be able to exalt His name, and to dig into His words of inspiration. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone and to those that are listening to the recorded service. And praise the Lord for you being here and for us still being alive in such a time as this. And again, it's not by mistake that God has allowed us to be living in these last days. For He has a very important work for each and every one of us to do that no one else but us can do it. And it's just a privilege to help you grow in grace and to help you become better prepared to share the truth of Jesus Christ far and wide. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song is entitled, In Times Like These. And the lyrics are found at lightministries.com/ID1936.htm.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you have a Savior. In times like these, you have an anchor. I'm very sure, and be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, and be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen, and thank you, Brother Sean. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care and guidance. Thank you for being with each one of us throughout the first part of this week, for keeping us safe, for hearing and answering our prayers, and for leading and guiding us upward. We give you full and complete control of this meeting tonight. We pray that thy presence will be here in our midst, the presence of our dear Savior and the Holy Spirit, to be abiding guests with each one of us and ruling in our hearts. Please, Spirit, continue to lead and guide us upward, open our understanding to thy word of truth, and increase our ability to comprehend and understand, and thank you so much for doing so. And please, Savior, shine your bright beams of righteousness to dispel the darkness in our hearts. Help us to indeed see things as they are, to see ourselves as we really are, and help us to recognize that we are utter weakness and that Jesus is infinite strength. And by connecting our weakness with his strength, we have the ability to overcome anything and everything that the devil can throw our way, as well as uprooting long, deep-seated habits of wrong in our lives. For indeed, in Jesus is victory, but outside of Jesus is defeat. And we thank you so very much for being here in our midst. Thank you that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. Thank you that the earth is one day brighter lit with thy righteousness, and soon it will be ablaze with the knowledge of salvation as the waters cover the sea. Please lead and guide us now as we continue in our study lesson, and help us to see the importance of the words that are written there just for our benefit in these last days. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, welcome, dear ones, and we appreciate you being here for a midweek church service. And let's go right into our lesson study. The study is found at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1377.htm. And it's entitled, The Disciples of Christ Are One in Him. And last time we got all the way down to the beginning of the fifth paragraph, and I have the beginning of it highlighted there. It starts out, says the Apostle James. Now, if you remember last time, we were going over the passage in Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those that thought upon his name and that spake often one to another. And we discovered that speaking often one to another refers to coming together in meetings in which the Lord is going to be uplifted and worshiped. So meetings such as the women's group on Monday evenings, meetings such as this meeting here in the midweek church service, the Friday night meeting, the beginning of the Sabbath, as well as the Sabbath school for the children, for the youth and adults, as well as the main service on Sabbath. All of these are opportunities for us to come together to speak often one to another of the goodness of the Lord, edifying one another by giving our testimonies or by opening our understanding of the Word of God, and then in turn other individuals that we're fellowshipping with are opening up to us their understanding of the Word of God, and thus each one of us is being uplifted by the other's understanding of Scripture. And of course, we give God's Word of inspiration the final authority in our discussions. So all of these are opportunities for the Lord to become ingrained in our midst, in our hearts, to rule there on the throne, so that self can be supplanted and crucified away, and instead Jesus can be uplifted in our midst. And if this is the goal, if this is the reason that we're coming together to worship the Lord, to edify one another, to be unified in love and brother and sistership, then God hears what's going on. He sees what's taking place. And he puts our individual names in his book of remembrance and pours upon us his spirit in rich abundance. Even as powerful as what occurred on Pentecost, the early rain experience. And we know that since we're living in the last days, when the Lord will send bright clouds and pour out the showers of the Holy Spirit in latter rain power upon his people, that God is even showering the latter rain today upon his people. And by coming together, fellowshipping one with another, uplifting the Lord, edifying one another, building up each other in the Lord, these are all opportunities for us to get our name in that book of remembrance and for us to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in latter rain power. So that's a little of what we went over last Wednesday evening. And so let's come down now to the fifth paragraph, and we'll see what the Apostle James is telling us here. Says the Apostle James, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So if we come together, and instead of being meek and seeking to edify one another, we instead come together with envying of one another and strife against one another in our hearts, and thus the words that we're speaking are not seeking to edify, but instead to tear down, then this is nothing to glory about. And we're actually, by doing so, lying against the truth. Because there's nothing in God's Word that gives us permission to envy and create strife against one another or to seek to tear each other down. There's nothing in God's Word that gives us permission to do that. So if we claim to be a follower of God, if we claim to be those that are following his truth, but yet we're doing things that the Bible doesn't give us permission to do, then we're lying against the truth that we claim to be following. James says, this wisdom is not from above. And so this type of, if you want to term it wisdom, being wise in things of evil, if you want to term it wisdom, it's not from God, but it's from the wicked one. It's not a heavenly wisdom, it's an earthly wisdom. It's not a pure characteristic of God's followers, but it's a sensual characteristic. It deals with the senses instead of with factual knowledge. And it's devilish. It's not godly. So if we see that we're becoming envious of someone, that's right at that point in time, we should get on our knees and ask God to cleanse us from this. Because envying and strife is not from God, it's from the devil. It's not from heaven, it's earthly. And it's not the pure atmosphere from above, but it's the sensual dark miasma from below. So when we come together, we should come from a wholly different atmosphere, a wholly different perspective, a wholly different motive that is not contaminated with self or selfishness. Because James goes on to say that where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What's another term for confusion in the Bible? Babylon. So where envy and strife is, there is Babylon. And what's connected with Babylon? James goes on, every evil work. So if you see that a home church, whether it's online or local, or a religious group that has invited you to come and fellowship with them, or perhaps you're already fellowshipping with them, and you see that strife and envying is coming in their midst, then you know that God's Spirit is being driven out, and the devil's spirit is coming and taking his place. And you know that the heavenly atmosphere is not long to stay there, because every evil working of Babylon is going to be manifested there. So as soon as you feel yourself wanting to argue or wanting to debate or wanting to try to win the argument, that's when you need to call a check to what you're doing and ask God to cleanse you from that contentious spirit, from that striving to be the best. And pleading for God to indeed purify your mind from all of that earthly, sensual, devilish type of spirit. If you see yourself becoming jealous of another individual, for whatever reason, there's many different reasons to be jealous or envious of someone else. That's the time, once you recognize it, that's the time for you to plead for God to forgive you for that spirit, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to indeed renew in you and create in you a new and a right spirit, so that the devil cannot use you as his medium, as his agent, to sow discord and confusion amongst your brothers and sisters. So envying and strife in your hearts is not wisdom that's from above, but it's from below, directly from the devil. Because he's trying to bring in confusion and every evil work into the midst of the group, through you, if you'll allow him to. But James goes on to say, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. So the type of spirit that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be talked to. Just the opposite of strife and envying, jealousy and bitterness, dissension and disunity. Just the opposite. So again, we have the ability to determine whether we're from above or from below, just by how we're coming together and dealing with one another, or speaking with one another, or our motives for fellowshipping together. We can determine ourselves if we're from above or from below. And if we see that we're from below, plead for God to purify us and make us of the right spirit to come together in fellowship so that we might be able to have our names written in that book of remembrance before God and indeed receive the blessing and be a blessing to others in that meeting.
Elder Rob, amen to everything that we are hearing at this time. I'm impressed to share a testimony of my mourning. And this is the second time that this has happened to me where I've been in the presence of just of the devil, so to speak. In the mornings when I go to work, I try to read the scripture and share it with everyone. And this one particular morning, you know, and my way of working it is to send it out in messages, because for me, being vocal, I don't want to use any of my words, and that's my fear, so mine is just written for the time being by God's grace. So this one individual was on the train the first time that it happened, and, you know, she was given the gospel. And it was, you know, it was truth to what she was saying, because, you know, it's what we have tested in this room and read for ourselves and, you know, in what we fellowship together with and what we have learned. So I was happy to hear someone, you know, speaking the word of God in truth. But this individual was on the train, and this spirit was so unchristlike that it started like a big fight on the train. It started a big uproar, like the little groups of people started fighting amongst each other. And I was so surprised, because I was like, wow, this one person saying the word of God started this whole thing. It got so bad. By the time I got off of the train, I was almost in tears, because I felt like, wow, I could have defended it, but I was sitting there and I was just like, wow. And I wanted to say something, but the words just couldn't come out. And I was like, wow, Lord, did I let you down? You know, could I have defended her? And while everybody started to, like, fight amongst each other and screaming at each other, obscenities and everything, you know, she said, the word of the Lord is not for us to fight, but it's for peace, so peace, peace. And she kept on saying that. And she got off the train, and the fighting still continues. Well, this morning, I came across again, going on the bus, a dear brother that I would see in the morning, and he was an Adventist, and he's tried to invite me to church, and, you know, he gave me one of his books, and thank God for the word of truth again, that, you know, just from reading their program, their bulletin, I was able to say, this is not a place that I need to be. This is not a place that I need to entertain. But I said, I will continue to pray for this dear brother, because, you know, I see that he's out on the bus trying to, you know, give a word in the morning. So I stopped him one day and I was talking to him, and, you know, certain things that I had pointed out, I questioned him about it and try to teach him the truth and, you know, explain to him and seeing where his mind was at. And, you know, he seemed receptive, so we'll keep that dear brother in prayer. So this morning, to make a long story short, my sister and I got on the bus. And, of course, again, he was given the word, but there was someone it was just miserable again. It was just, you know, where is God coming from? Where is this? And it was just strife. So, but I was a little bit away from, further away from them, but the bus shuffled, the people shuffled a little bit, and I was able to get close to this brother. And he was, you know, trying to, like you were saying, you know, the spirit, and he was trying to make the person understand, and it became combative, and, you know, so I got close enough, and my sister said, just leave it alone, and I reached out to him, and I touched him, and right before I had touched him, he said, the Bible said that by their fruits you shall know them, and it was perfect, because I touched him and I said, "Dear brother, don't no more." I said, "By the fruits you shall know them." And this is a spirit that is not of God. And you don't have the time at this moment to explain what it is that he's asking. I said, "You know, you see what is going on." So I said, "No more." I said, "The Bible tells us that everyone will hear the word and everyone will have to make a decision. And you see what this decision is." Because this person, he was very belligerent and he was saying, "Where is God coming from? Everybody is saying God is coming from everywhere." And this, and you know, he was just going off. And I said to him, "You could read Revelation. Revelation will tell you." I said, "You could read Acts. Acts would tell you." I said, "You could read Matthew. Matthew would tell you." I said, "But you have to be open-minded to what you're doing." And, you know, everybody started saying amen. But, you know, I didn't want to praise. I just wanted to calm it. And I guess I was just happy that the Lord gave me the ability to speak up and speak up for him today and just not let it go by. And so, you know, by the end of the time, it was just, wow, this is the second time. And I'm like, "Lord, just please, just give me the words to say to divide this war that is going on, that is so prevalent in our eyes this morning, that, you know, people were saying all sorts of things. Oh, this is the devil and this, you know." It was just so bad on the bus again. And I was just like, but thank God for spirit mercies, and thank God that, you know, I was able to get in there and just by God's grace, let it be known, by the fruits you shall know them. And if you see, like you said, that we are, you know, fighting and reaching a roadblock, then we just have to stop and then just keep that person in prayer. So I pray that we lift up the dear brother who was trying to give the word this morning, and we pray for that the heart that today, that whatever what was said, you know, he may go and investigate it, and that we will see him one day and he's ready and willing to learn more of the Lord. Because seemingly, he read the Bible, but he was just, something was just wasn't right there. But God is able, and that's just it.
Amen, sister, and praise the Lord for God giving you the courage and the wisdom to say the words that you did. For, you know, Christ says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they, you know, shall be called the children of God, shall inherit the earth." So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And yes, indeed, let us bow our heads and pray for the individual that was fighting against what was shared, and also for the individual that was sharing it. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for indeed working to prepare hearts to come into contact with the truth. And we pray, Father, for the individual that was fighting against what was being shared, that you will please work upon their heart. Please help them to be curious, to want to search in Revelation and in Acts and in Matthew and in other places, to indeed find that the time is short and that they need to have a clear knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, so that they can intelligently accept him as their Savior, as the one who will cleanse them from all sin and unrighteousness, and that they will truly come to understand the truth and not fight against it. I also pray for the individual that was sharing the truth, that you will give them the extra wisdom to know how to be able to share the truth in a way that does not bring up combativeness unnecessarily, in a way that will be able to calm the hearts, the spirits of the people that are there, and to be able to weave the truth through all the barriers against it, so that seeds can be planted that will not be quickly uprooted or snatched away, but will bring about good growth and fruit to your glory. And we thank you so much for doing so. Please continue to be with us this evening. Please continue to open our eyes and understanding, and help us to discover ways to be able to handle combativeness in a peaceful and gentle manner, so that we will know when it's no use to say anything more, or we will know exactly how to end the conversation to plant a seed of truth, and that we will also understand exactly what to say and what not to say, for there's other hearts listening that can be benefited by what has taken place. And so we thank you, Father, for leading and guiding us, and thank you for allowing Sister Cece to have the extra wisdom as well as the words to know what to say and how to say it to bring about a better resolve on the bus this day. Thank you so much, Father, and please continue to work in the hearts of thy people all around the world. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So thank you, Sister Cece. That was a great testimony. And it's really hard to know what to say to calm down a person that's just combative and really doesn't have control of their mouth, if you understand what I mean. But again, God is in control. And if he allowed the situation to come up to where it became combative on one party's position, then that just may have been what was necessary to open other eyes that were on the bus to pay attention to what was going on. And that just made your intervening in the situation so much more powerful. Because I'm sure some of them were saying, oh no, here we go again. We've heard this before. But then to hear how you were able to come up and calm the situation and to bring up the scripture in the way that you did, it was powerful, much more powerful than it probably would have been the first time that it occurred. So praise the Lord, dear sister, for letting him use you in today's experience. So we're in paragraph number 5, starts out, says the Apostle James, and we've gone over, if there's bitter envy and strife in your hearts, then we know that this type of spirit is not from God, but is from the devil. And he's trying to use us to bring division and confusion into the midst of those that we're fellowshipping with. But in contrast to that, the wisdom that's from God, that's from heaven, is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. So if we're from above, if God is truly ruling in our hearts, then we're going to be peaceable. We're going to be gentle, not forward. We're going to be easy to talk to. We're not going to be difficult to talk to. So if we find that we just want to debate, that we just want to argue, that we just want to make sure people hear our points, but we're not willing to give the other person the freedom to give their point as well, then we're not peaceable. We're trying to start a warfare. We're not gentle. We're very harsh. We're not easy to be entreated or talked to, but we're difficult to be talked to. And I've come across people, brothers and sisters, that when you try to share with them a different point of view, they become very upset that you're just not accepting their point of view. And they don't even want to give you the time of the day or the courtesy to listen to the different point of view that you're trying to explain to them or trying to get them to see. So they're not easy to be entreated. They're not easy to talk to. They're very difficult because selfishness still has part of the throne of their heart. And they think that their own opinion is the only opinion that should be heard and considered as truth. And any other opinion that counters theirs can't possibly be from God because they're the enlightened one. So right then and there, that shows that that type of spirit, that type of wisdom is not from God at all, but it's from the devil. So James is trying to contrast the two different type of spirits that can be in our hearts, that can come out as we fellowship one with another. One's from below, the other's from above. So then we need to each look at our own spirits, our own characteristics, and see which type of spirit we're imbibing or we're allowing to control us. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, easy to talk to and reason with. And then he continues, it is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So it's without partiality. There's no bias there. It's not that they have a favorite individual that they look up to and accept whatever comes out of their mouth, but some other individual that has a different point, they don't want to listen to. The type of wisdom that's from above is impartial. It doesn't matter if a child is speaking it, or an aged one is speaking it, or our favorite friend or brother or sister is speaking it. We all give the same courtesy to everyone. A child can teach us wisdom that is hard for an adult to comprehend and understand themselves. Because a lot of times adults get so far into themselves, if you will, that they don't come down on the level of simplicity. They're always looking at the more complex issue instead of looking at it from a simple understanding. But a child looks at it more from the simple understanding instead of the complex understanding. And so, yes, it's possible for adults that have been years in the truth to learn from children. So even those that are teachers among us, at times you have to become a student, not always being the teacher, but become a student, a learner from others. And that's what James is talking about here. The wisdom that's from above is easy to be entreated, easy to talk to, easy to be reasoned with. It's peaceable, gentle, it's without partiality, and it's without hypocrisy. It's not telling people to do certain things and then you go and do just the opposite because that's more convenient for you to do. But what we tell others, what we teach them about God's Word, how we lead them to follow God's Word, is the same that we need to live ourselves so that we're not hypocritical. And James continues, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So when we come together, what type of spirit are we of? What is our motive for being there? Are we there to bring forth righteousness and peace among our fellow brothers and sisters? Or are we there to try and cause strife and debate and envying and jealousy and dissension? Are we really seeking to be a blessing to others or to be a blessing to ourselves? Are we seeking to bring about peace among ourselves or warfare? The type of spirit that we're of before we come into these meetings will determine whether we receive a blessing from heaven and if we're a blessing to others, or whether we're going to not receive that blessing from heaven and we're not going to be a blessing to others because we're coming in the wrong spirit. That's why before we come into any of our fellowship meetings, whether it's the Monday night women's group or the Wednesday evening midweek service or the Friday evening beginning of the Sabbath service or the Sabbath day services, before we come into any of these meetings that we're fellowshipping together one with another, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray for God to create in us a new spirit, to indeed allow us to be a blessing and to gain a blessing from the meetings that we're going into, so that the devil doesn't have any right to use us as his medium to cause problems, but instead God's Spirit can use us to bring about edification, uplifting of one another, encouraging one another, and in turn being encouraged and uplifted and edified, so that we might indeed advance in the knowledge and in the walk with God and be a child of God by bringing forth righteousness and sowing peace amongst one another. Continuing, and Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when we come to these meetings, we need to come to them worthy of the faith that we've embraced as our own. Coming with all lowliness and meekness of mind, not haughty and proud, but lowly and meek. We need to come with a long-suffering heart. Not one that's easy to be irritated or set on fire, but one that's long suffering. Long suffering means that you've suffered a long time before you finally react. So we need to come to these meetings being long-suffering, not easily irritated, not with a chip on our shoulder, waiting for someone just to stir up a tiny wind that moves the chip just a little bit so we can react. Self needs to be dead. It needs to be crucified. So we need to be long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. What does forbear mean? It means to put up with. So to put up with one another's faults or defects, to put up with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when we come to these meetings, we're not coming all perfect in character. But that's what we're striving to be. So we don't have to be perfect to come and fellowship together. God is calling us to come together as we are, with our defects in characters, with our struggle against self, with our habits of doing wrong. And as we come together and learn how to fellowship one with another, learning how to overcome our irritability and become long-suffering, learning how to overcome our pride and instead be lowly and meek, this is where we learn how to do it. And if we stay away from these meetings because we're not yet perfect in character, and we're waiting until we can become perfect in character before we come to these meetings, we're never going to become perfect in character. Because it's by coming to these meetings that we learn how to become perfect, how to be less irritable, how to learn as well as be a teacher, how to encourage as well as to be encouraged, how to edify as well as to be edified. That's what all these meetings are designed to do. Learning how to dwell with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because if we learn how to do it here on this earth with as much adversity as there is, then we know that we'll be able to be in heaven and fellowshipping together in the bond of peace. This is our learning time. This is where we are educated to become one with one another, to work through all of our difficulties. And when God sees that we're earnest in doing so, then He'll give us as much of the Spirit as we need to achieve that goal. Before Pentecost occurred, the disciples spent 10 days together. 10 days. And it wasn't just the 12 disciples. It was 120. Can you imagine spending 10 whole days with 120 people? They truly learned how to dwell together in unity and in peace and in love. They worked through all of their problems. They confessed all of their faults. And in turn, heard confessions from others. And they had a spirit of forgiveness. They truly wanted to fulfill the last prayer of their Savior, that they might be one as He is one with the Father. And when they finally achieved that goal, the Spirit was poured out in early rain power, and look what happened. God is waiting for the same thing to occur today, dear ones, so He can pour out the latter rain. And then what will occur under that mighty outpouring? Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of hearts that finally see and understand the truth of Christ and are converted to Him. Where do we learn how to do that? By coming and fellowshipping together in these meetings, learning how to dwell and to walk together as one brother and sister in Christ with the other. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace by denying self so that you might sow the fruit of righteousness in peace amongst your fellow brothers and sisters. Learning how to be pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and in being lowly and meek and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. This is where we learn how to do that. That's what makes these meetings so important to be a part of. That we might indeed keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace among each one of us. Paul continues, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." There's just one body. God is calling you to be part of His body, part of fellowshipping one with another in the Lord. And so praise God that you're here fellowshipping with us now, that we might indeed fulfill the Savior's prayer to be one with each other as He is one with the Father. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Any other testimonies? Any questions? Please feel free to bring them forth.
This topic is something that I think it's so needed, because sometimes it's very difficult to be able to convey certain situation that if Christ is not in the midst, nothing could be done, because He's the one responsible to soften the heart. And also He's the one that by the love you have for Him, you refine yourself to be able to bear with brothers and sisters that may be having a struggle. And it seems that when you stand for principle, you're not pretty popular, or you're not really someone that nobody wants to be able to be around. And it seems like you become more a troublemaker. But then again, your conviction and the love you have for God would not allow you to be able to command certain circumstances, because if someone does not stand for principle, then all of us will be in the same boat. Well, in my experience, it is very difficult for me. This is not only a testimony, but this is a confession. When in the world you have been someone that always was looked upon as an individual that constantly fighting for their life, and you come into the truth of the gospel, and you realize that fighting is not the way of the Lord. Now you have to be able to hide and to command the Spirit of the Lord to be able to fight every demon of hell that is in your being. Because it's something very strange. The Lord is telling you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. And the more you hear the word of God, and the more you realize the things you have to do, you really have to seek heaven to be able to say, Lord, please teach me how. But I noticed that one of the things that helped me a whole lot, and I will give a testimony of what happened to an incident in a baptism that we had in 2011. But Calvary helped me, because I realized that when it was before Pilate, when his brethren had actually left them, when, and all of that time, He always showed love. And I could not understand that. That was really my struggle. But Lord, I don't have it in me to be able to see it that way. So he says, look at me. By looking upon Jesus, that has helped me to be able to fight one of the greatest things that I had to battle. Because being left 9 months old as a babe, without no parents, and actually have to be with grandparents, well, you have to fight to keep them alive because if something happened to them, you don't have anybody. So all the time you've been fighting just to survive. There is no brothers to be able to defend you. There is no one there but only the fear of the love of grandparents, where the only thing you have to do is constantly try to preserve them. And then when you come to salvation, you realize that the fight is not for you to do. You have to take it to Jesus. And it's very difficult. It is a struggle every day. Because it's something that is outside of yourself to be able to accomplish. And the only way you can do that is with the Lord. And brethren, it is not easy. It is not, because it seems like the whole world is against you. But when you look towards Calvary and see what they have done to your master, that he has not done anything to deserve it, you do glorify in those moments, because you start looking at it as, praise the Lord that I'm partaking with Christ suffering. That's a good part out of it. But it's not easy, dear brethren. It is not. And especially when you do not have any harm towards any individual. It is a war, but it's against principalities in high places. Sometimes natural or carnal eye can't see it, but the Word of God do identify it. And yes, Sister Fifi, as you said earlier, by the fruit you shall know them. And when the fruit of the Spirit identify it, we must see Christ to be able to help us to bear with it. Because in our natural nature, it will crush our lives. And I thank God that struggle that I did have for many years, I can't say that I'm completely over it, because every day, self is always trying to be able to rise. But praise God for the message of forgiveness. Because if I do not forgive them, God cannot forgive me. And I praise God for the message. Because if it wasn't for the message, I wouldn't be here. And I just wanted to share that. And just not to be able to stay on the mic that long. I remember in 2011 when my baptism was done. And we had this dear individual that was with us. And at that very moment, something was being uttered that was very painful to me because of the individual that was involved. The person literally said that we was a cult, and I just didn't know how to handle it. But I seen this dear brother handle that situation. But you know what I saw? I didn't even see the brother. I saw the Lord being manifested, that even though that he was being accused falsely, he did not give up that what it was. But he also had the same peaceable love and understanding and handled it in such a way. And that, for me, did a lot, because from there on, I got to see not only in the Word of God written, but I saw it also physically by another individual. And I may not be able to mention names, but praise God for this dear brother. Because if it wasn't for the love that he has for the Lord that was seen through his example, I don't think there's a lot of things I would not be able to handle. Because the Lord not only left it there, he took me to Desire Agent in a chapter that says, who's the greatest? Where Peter was trying his best to be able to defend his Savior when they were accusing him of actually not paying the money to the temple. But in his zeal to defend, he was also losing the sight of what Christ was trying to show him. The ones that were accusing them were the ones that were really wrong, because they was actually asking him to do something that in the law exempt him from doing so. But in the zeal of wanting to defend Christ's name so much, he even lost the lesson. And that for me, not only for a physical manifestation that the Lord did that day, but also in the reading of the spirit of prophecy in the Bible, truly it gives us the tool to be able how to handle these situations. And I just wanted to share that.
God is worthy of all the praises. T.P., you say it and you said it best, and Elder Rob, this message has been such a blessing because it was so perfectly on time. Because this is a struggle for me that I have been fighting, and I am fighting with self and self arise, and like, you know, Elder Rob was pointing out, what spirit was am I entertaining that I'm so easily flustered, that I'm so easily broken? And me, in the world that is without Christ, I would just pick up and walk away. I become very, very reclusive in certain situations. I will not fight, maybe sometimes physically, but I fight by staying by myself. I go into a little shell and I stay there and I would not say anything. And you would offend me and you would not know. And I know that God is so merciful in everything that he has been doing in my life, that by his grace and mercy and by his strength that I'm able to stand and endure endure it, because it's just so not necessary. And that's what is a struggle for me, that I have to ask. I ask the question, I said, when is enough enough? When do you stop, you know, withstanding and things like that? But then one thing kept on ringing in my mind as I was asking this question. I said, what would Jesus do? Did he run when it gets rough? Did he give up when people afflict him? Did he, when he was up against all evil, what did he do? He stood. And with that being said, I have to stand. I have to stand. I won't be moved by God's grace. This message was just me, because again, I started to trickle back down that way where I'm feeling like I have to protect myself. I have to guide myself. But the Lord is able. He is able in so many, many ways. So I pray that you lift up a prayer for me, that I continue to, by God's grace, fight self and just crucify it and stand and continue to stand on God and in his word, and thank the individuals who are aware and are praying and the Lord send them to intervene and just be perfectly on time. But it is a struggle with self, and I pray that you just lift up a prayer for me and everyone who is involved, so that we can remove that spirit of strife and just be united in the word at all times and just simply in the word.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister, and also thank you, dear sister Rose. And indeed, let us bow our heads. Dear precious Father, we thank you so very much for being here in our midst and for pouring thy spirit upon each one of us in rich abundance. Please, Spirit, continue to reveal what type of spirit that we're of. Continue to prick our hearts when we're of the wrong spirit, that we might catch ourselves early and repent and turn about, pleading with thee to purify us, refine us, and sanctify us, and give us a right spirit. I pray, dear Father, that you'll be with Sister Cece and continue to work in her life, continue to crucify self, continue to lead and guide her upward. Father, continue to be with Rose, and thank you for giving her the victory in so many times, and please continue to give her the grace and the strength to resist how she's grown up in fighting for herself and to give the battle into your hands and to do only the things that will please you. And Father, be with each one of us. Work in our lives. Correct us of our wrongs. Rebuke us for not seeing clearly the wrongs that we're doing. Wake us up. Stop us in our tracks. And indeed, if need be, bring us low so that we might learn to be humble, to be teachable, to be meek, lowly, to have the wisdom that comes from above and not from below, to not have hearts that are bitter and envious and want to cause strife and division, but instead to have hearts that are pure and peaceable, easy to be entreated, that are gentle, that we will bring forth the fruits of righteousness and peace and not of contention and confusion that comes directly from Babylon and the devil. Help us indeed to be long-suffering and to forbear one another in love, because we have the God of love dwelling in us. And we thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer, and thank you for being long-suffering and gentle and forbearing us in love. Thank you indeed for being our Father. And thank you, Savior, for being our elder brother. And thank you, Spirit, for being our comforter and guide. Please continue to do so. And thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This brings up a scripture song in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. So be of peace, be of one mind. Indeed, dwell in love with one another, and the God of peace shall be with you.
I have a praise and I'm so thankful. Today I went to the eye doctor. I was very much concerned about my eyes because I started to have a little difficulty kind of reading the letters. Like when I open my Bible, it seems to be blurry. And I had to use the little reading glasses that you get from the store. And I just wanted to go and check and see how my eyes were doing. So praise the Lord that the exam came out good. And she says that when you reach 40, these things are supposed to be kind of normal. So I'm basically 46. So it started to be able to have those effects, 46 instead of 40. So I'm so grateful. I was kind of concerned. So I don't need no glasses with prescription. He told me that I can still go and get over-the-counter 1.5. So I just want to praise God because I was telling the doctor that I really need my eyes. And that was something that I was very grateful about. So I just wanted to praise God concerning that.
Well, praise the Lord, sister. But you're not supposed to give away your age. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we have had a brother. I don't know if he's still in the faith or not. He's overseas. But he specialized in optometry, and he dealt with prescription glasses and so on. And he said, yeah, 40 is the age when the eyes, the muscles in the eyes aren't as good at manipulating the eye to focus like it was when it was, you know, younger. And if you're past 40 and you still don't need glasses, then that's an indication that you're ahead of the norm of society. And it shows that the diet that you're having for yourself is working, because it's allowing you to live longer without having to suffer the effects along with the rest of the world that aren't following in a proper diet. So it's sort of the blessing of God prolonging things in your life to where it's like a testimony against others that don't have as good a diet as they should have. Or if they do have a good diet and are still suffering, perhaps they're not in the faith or do not have a close walk with the Lord that is their physician. So it's just, you know, praise the Lord that you've lasted 6 years farther than the majority of the rest of the world do as far as glasses. And magnifying glasses aren't that big a deal, sister, but praise God that you've gone this long without them. And I'm putting off having to wear glasses. On the fine print, I do need magnifying glasses to read the fine print. And I'm just shy of 6 foot, so I got a long arm reach. And when I'm reading a book or my Bible, I don't have to have it farther beyond the reach of my arm in order to read it. So I still got a few inches left in my length of arm to still be able to read without having to use magnifying glasses, but I know the day is coming. God is good. God is good. And as you were giving your testimony, what came to mind was the experience of Elijah when the issue with Ahab and Jezebel took place, and he fled out into the wilderness and went up into a cave. And God came before him, and there was a big wind. He didn't hear the voice of God in the wind. There was an earthquake. He didn't hear the voice of God in the earthquake. But as soon as he heard a still, small voice, a gentle voice, that's when he recognized God, and he fell down on his knees with his face to the ground. It's the same way when we come together. We're to be peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, meek, long-suffering. Our voices are to be gentle, just like the voice of the Lord to Elijah. Just like the Holy Spirit speaking to us, a still small voice. So when we come together, we're to be peaceable with one another, just like the Lord has been peaceable with us. So thank you, dear sister, for your testimony. Now, are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Any other testimonies or songs that you'd like to sing in this midweek church service? Please feel free to do so, dear one.
I just want to sing this quick one. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a spirit within me. Amen. Well, this scripture song comes up in mind for the topic. Is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8.
finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8.
Amen. Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for fellowshipping with us tonight, and indeed coming together and worshiping our Lord in spirit and in truth. And I'd like to close with prayer and then leave you with a scripture song. So if you please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being here with us this evening. Thank you, Father, for leading and guiding us into all truth. Thank you for correcting us, and please continue to work in us that self will be crucified and that we might indeed be able to come together and be peaceable and gentle and easy to be talked to and entreated, to be full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, to indeed bring peace, to be lowly and meek, to forbear one another in love, to be long-suffering with each other, and indeed become one with each other as you are one with our Savior. Help this to become reality among us, and continue to work with each one of us throughout this remainder of the week until we're able to come back together and to be in fellowship and sweet unity with each other. And we thank you for making this all possible. Continue to speed and spread thy truth around the world. Thank you, Father, that we are indeed a day closer to heaven. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now as we part for a short time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And the song I'd like to sing is Psalms 117, 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 117, 1 and 2. Indeed, dear ones, praise the Lord evermore in this week. May God be with you now.